You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Bentonville finally says hello to Bangalore. Business does not always repeat itself, but does occasionally have a way of rhyming. In what is the world's largest e-commerce deal, Walmart has acquired a 77% stake in India's largest online retailer, Flipkart, for $16 billion. And that is our story of the day. My name is Rakesh. This is Money Control.
The Deep Dive podcast series.
Bentonville meets Bangalore. All you need to know about the Walmart-Flipkart deal.
A Money Control exclusive.
After more than 20 months of talks, Walmart has finally decided to acquire a 77% stake in Flipkart for $16 billion. This will be India's largest acquisition and the world's biggest purchase of an e-commerce company. It'll include $2 billion of fresh investment as Walmart looks to take on rival Amazon's global expansion, pegging the value of Flipkart at about $22 billion. Flipkart co-founder Sachin Bansal has also decided to exit the company, while the other co-founder Binny Bansal remains invested. Outside of Walmart's 77% stake, the remaining 23% stake will be held by co-founder and Group Chief Executive Officer Binny Bansal, Chinese internet conglomerate Tencent, investment firm Tiger Global, and software firm Microsoft Corp. The deal is expected to generate wealth in thousands of crores of rupees for founders, investors, as well as several employees, with ESOPs held by about 100 current and former employees now worth more than $1 million each already. It gives Walmart a firm foothold in the e-commerce market, which it plans to leverage to enter more fully into the country's retail ecosystem through close integration with the agri-commodities supply chain. What it essentially also means is an out-and-out war against Amazon in the Indian market. Walmart said Flipkart will leverage Walmart's omnichannel expertise, grocery and supply chain knowledge, and financial strength, raising the prospect of a fight with Amazon in the grocery category as well. We'll of course explore what it means for Walmart to enter India, what it means for India to have Walmart, what it means for Amazon, and how that fight is likely to play out, etc., etc. But before that, let's take a quick look at those people who are already invested in Flipkart pre-Walmart days and what they stand to gain or lose because of this acquisition. Let's start with one of the co-founders and the group chairman of Flipkart, Sachin Bansal, who has decided to leave the company. He'll be selling his remaining 5.5% stake for about $1 billion, about 6,700 crore rupees, and exit the company. But Sachin is apparently less than happy and was apparently not even on the campus when CEO Doug McMillan was there to make the announcement. Binny Bansal, though, will stay on. Company insiders said Walmart did not see a role for two co-founders on the board. Sachin, in an emotional post he wrote on Facebook, went on to say, "Sadly, my work here is done, and after 10 years, it is time to hand over the baton and move on from Flipkart." Meanwhile, Binny's partial sale of stake will bring him $104 million, or about 700 crore rupees, while his remaining 4.24% stake in the company is now valued as much as $881 million. Sachin, meanwhile, said he would take some time off and realize some personal projects that he had not been able to give time to, and will catch up on some video games that kids are into these days, and that he will also brush up his coding skills. He did also add that he'd be cheering from the outside and hoped that the momentum at Flipkart would continue. There are four other investors within this Flipkart family, so to speak, about whom we have to talk before we go on to the larger aspects of the Walmart-Flipkart deal. First, Tiger Global. New York-based investment firm Tiger Global Management has been Flipkart's biggest backer since 2010 and has raked in about $3.3 billion from its total investment of $1 billion in India's largest online retailer, that is Flipkart. So Tiger Global's remaining 5% stake in Flipkart, after selling about 17% in the company, is worth another $1 billion based on the online retailer's estimated worth of about $20 billion following the Walmart deal. Next, SoftBank. SoftBank also did an oopsie about 4 hours before Walmart could announce the acquisition of Flipkart. Masayoshi Son, in a meeting with reporters, let it slip that the deal was about to take place. Having said that, SoftBank is expecting returns of about $4 billion as part of the Walmart-Flipkart transaction, fetching about 1.5 times the investment of $2.5 billion that SoftBank made in Flipkart just about 9 months ago. SoftBank, which had become the largest investor in Flipkart, is selling its entire stake of more than 20% in the online retailer and going home with a cool $4 billion. The next venture capital firm we need to talk about, Axel. Axel will take home about $800 million to $1 billion over three rounds of sale for over $100 million that have been invested by Axel since 2009. It was in fact the first company in 2008 to invest in Flipkart, which was still trying to take off after a year of operation. Axel will retain some of its shares. And finally, Naspers, the South African tech and media conglomerate, gets about $2.2 billion for about $600 million in investment over several rounds, which started in 2012.
The Deep Dive podcast series.
Bentonville meets Bangalore. All you need to know about the Walmart Flipkart deal.
A Money Control exclusive.
And what about the employees? Well, Walmart's acquisition has generated one of the largest pools of wealth for employees, like I said earlier. ESOPs held by about 100 current and former employees of Flipkart are now estimated to be worth more than $1 million each. The deal has lifted the total worth of Flipkart's employee stock ownership plans, including unvested shares, to about $2 billion or 13,450 crore rupees, according to a report on the Economic Times. Well, Walmart is also offering a 100% buyback of vested shares by Flipkart employees. So there we are, that is the breakdown of where people stand after the Walmart Flipkart acquisition. And now for the bigger questions. First, is Wall Street happy with Walmart's decision? It appears not so much. Walmart Inc. stocks sank after announcing its largest acquisition ever. Wall Street got a bit of a shocker, as Bade noted that the price tag is hefty, and another brokerage firm expected short-term dilution as brutal. Although, analysts were more optimistic on the longer-term potential benefits, but that didn't help the shares, which fell as much as 3.1% to close at their lowest level since October 9th of last year. Here, we would do well to remember that the world's largest retailer, that is Walmart, has closed money-losing operations in Germany and South Korea. And only 2 years ago, Walmart sold its Chinese e-commerce business Yihaodian in return for a financial stake in JD.com Inc., which is a smaller rival to Alibaba. The number of Walmart's international stores hasn't really moved from the 6,000 that it used to be in 2013, and it has had to close its outlets in Japan and Brazil. And we would, of course, do well to remember that this is not Walmart's first entry into India. It does maintain 21 wholesale stores in 19 locations across the country, which generate just about 0.1% of its $500 billion in global revenues. And there is a small loss to boot as well. Somehow, that has not dissuaded the beast of Bentonville, as it is called, from undertaking the biggest corporate acquisition in Indian history. There is, of course, a sense of deja vu, because back in 2007, they tried to enter India in a big way, but could not quite. What are the reasons why Walmart thinks this is a good acquisition and is a good space to enter? The Indian e-commerce market is as different from the American brick-and-mortar retail landscape as, well, Bentonville is from Bangalore. Flipkart operates entirely in an online territory. 95% of Americans shop at Walmart at least once a year, but only 5 to 10% of Indians have ever bought anything online. Even then, Walmart has gone ahead and valued Flipkart at $20 billion, which is about 8% of its market capitalization, and people in the Indian tech scene have raised their eyebrows at this massive price tag, given that Flipkart was valued at about $12 billion just about a year ago. Now is as good a time as any to remember the fact that Flipkart is a loss-making company, which just reported a consolidated loss of over 8,770 crore rupees during the financial year ending March 2017. The loss is, of course, the consolidated loss of the Flipkart group, which also has Myntra and Jabong in it. And these losses are not a matter of 1 year. These losses at Flipkart have only grown in the last few years. But the company has managed to raise multiple rounds of fundings from investors across the world, including big names like SoftBank and Tencent. And now, Flipkart's massive valuation and 77% stake acquisition. What does Walmart stand to gain with its deal? And what are these specific aspects that Flipkart has which are attractive to Walmart? That's what we'll find out.
This is an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
The hope is probably that growth will, in time, deliver profits worth the huge, huge price tag. But India's e-commerce market is worth, on the whole, about $15 billion. Now compare that with $500 billion in America and almost double that in China. There was at one time a huge amount of hype about India's e-commerce market. But after years of rapid growth until 2015, that sort of plateaued out and has grown about 20% last year. That is in fact slower than Walmart's online sales growth in America, which is itself not particularly great. So why is it considered such a great place for e-commerce, and why has Walmart gone ahead and made the decision? According to Walmart's own investor presentation, India's e-commerce market, according to them, is projected to grow 4 times faster than the total retail over the next 5 years. While the consolidated retail segment is seen growing only about 9% between 2017-18 and 2022-23, the e-commerce segment they expect to grow by around 36%. The growth in e-commerce is projected on the basis of increasing smartphone penetration in the country, which is estimated to be about 58% by 2020, compared with the 30% it was last year. In addition to smartphone usage, internet user base is also expected to increase to 829 million people by 2021 from over 373 million people in 2016. This growth of online retail comes at the detriment of unorganized retailers, and I will talk about them in just a bit. According to estimates by Greyhound Research, unorganized retailers constitute about 90% of the $650 billion retail sector in India. But Walmart has said that as it scales in India, it would also support small businesses through direct procurement, as well as by increased opportunities for exports through global sourcing and e-commerce. The company also went on to say in a statement, and I quote, "Among other initiatives, Walmart will partner with Kirana owners and members to help modernize their retail practices and adopt digital payment technologies." So let's make the market a little more clear. Forrester Research released a report in March which said that India's online retail market is still in a fairly unevolved stage. It clocked only about $27 billion last year, absolutely tiny in comparison with the $1.11 trillion in online sales which was seen in China. What Flipkart has is market presence and prowess in technology and customer insights, and Walmart hopes to capitalize on that. With platforms like Myntra, Jabong and PhonePe, Flipkart is already positioned to leverage its integrated ecosystem, which is defined by localized service and insights into customers and an efficient supply chain. Its supply chain arm, that is eCart, serves about 800 cities, making about 500,000 deliveries each day. In 2017-2018, Flipkart recorded GMV, that is gross merchandise value, of $7.5 billion and net sales of about $4.6 billion, representing 50% year-on-year growth. Flipkart will hope to leverage Walmart's omni-channel retail expertise, grocery and general merchandise supply chain knowledge, and financial strength deep pockets, while its talent, technology, customer insights, and innovative culture will benefit the US retail giant. So this is the kind of give and take that Walmart and Flipkart expect to have because of this deal, and this may well be the reason why Walmart has gone to valuate Flipkart at $20 billion, when in fact it was only valued at $12 billion just last year. There is, of course, an unseen, unheard name that is only whispered and spelled A-M-A-Z-O-N. And that may, of course, be the reason why Walmart wants to enter the burgeoning and bound to increase e-commerce space in India to take on the giant that it is taking on elsewhere as well. More on that later. Well, in the Romeo Juliet that is Walmart and Flipkart, Act 1 consisted of where the stakeholders stand right now. Act 2 was the reason why Walmart was interested in Flipkart and vice versa. And in Act 3, we will talk about the responses of the houses of Capulet and Montague, Walmart and Flipkart, and what their reactions to this union are. It can only be termed mixed reactions. A majority of the industry believes that the Walmart-Flipkart deal is a win-win situation for India's e-commerce sector, as the market would go on to become a whole lot more competitive. Gurcharan Das, in an interview to CNBC TV 18, went on to say, and I quote him, "The US retailer's entry may open opportunities for the Indian retailer to become partners and attract foreign investments, as the rivals would look to pump up their investments to stay at par with Flipkart and Walmart. Either way, the Indian consumer seems to be the winner of this game." End quote. Saurav Srivastav of Indian Angel Network also echoed the deal pretty much. He went on to say it was a fantastic deal because it's pretty much good for everybody. There have, of course, been laudatory statements from India Inc. People see that the valuation of an Indian homegrown company like Flipkart could be a hope for a whole host of startup companies in the country. This is 1 lakh crore plus all-cash deal. I call it a perfect answer to those who were dismissive of Indian startups in an open-for-all market. What an incredible outcome for every believer of Flipkart, went on to say Paytm founder Vijay Shekhar Sharma. Kiran Mazumdar Shaw of Biocon also echoed the view. Walmart buys 77% stake in Flipkart for $16 billion, a huge endorsement for India's first e-tailing company, capital-intensive business that needs deep pockets, which Walmart has. ASSOCHAM Secretary General D.S. Rawat said the industry body saw the Walmart-Flipkart deal as a salute to the success of an Indian startup that pioneered the fledgling online retailing in a country where bulk of the trade is in the unorganized sector. Isn't it great that a startup goes on to fetch an enterprise valuation of over $20 billion? D.S. Rawat went on to say. which is not to say they were not naysayers. And that came largely from small online retailers. The Confederation of All India Traders, that is CAIT, said the deal is nothing but a clear attempt to control and dominate the retail trade in India by Walmart through e-commerce in the long run. RSS affiliate Swadeshi Jagran Manch, that is SJM, alleged that Walmart was quote-unquote circumventing rules for a backdoor entry into India and sought Prime Minister Narendra Modi's intervention to safeguard national interest. The SJM, in a letter to the Prime Minister, went on to say, and I quote, "This will further eliminate small and medium businesses, small shops, and opportunity to create more jobs. Most of these small entrepreneurs are already battling for their existence. Entry of Walmart will further create problems for them." In this regard, I have to remember what Gurcharan Das offered as a counterpoint. Not that those concerns should be invalid, but there is a way where Walmart's entry in the past into other territories has actually helped people from those countries. What Walmart does, as a matter of its core philosophy, is to ensure that fresh farm produce goes to the customer at the lowest cost. And that is exactly what happened when Walmart went to Africa. They spent the first couple of years in countries like Nigeria to grow the right kind of tomatoes and potatoes. And because of that, some of the biggest beneficiaries when Walmart entered Africa were the local farmers of Africa. It is a model that Walmart will certainly hope to look into when it enters India as well. Well, those have been some of the reactions about the biggest acquisition in India's history, that is between Walmart and Flipkart. Is it all smooth running though for the acquisition? Well, no. There may seem to be one legal hurdle. What is that? We'll find out in a bit.
The Deep Dive podcast series.
Bentonville meets Bangalore. All you need to know about the Walmart Flipkart deal.
A Money Control exclusive.
Gaurav Chaudhary on Money Control goes on to say there may be a question mark that looms over the potential tax disputes over Walmart's majority buyout of Flipkart. This could well be a throwback to the row that British telecom giant Vodafone faced over its acquisition of Hutchison's telecom assets in India more than 11 years ago. The Walmart-Flipkart deal is of course the biggest inbound transaction, much greater than even the Esser Oil Rosneft deal, which was valued at $12.9 billion. This transaction is likely to take place in Singapore, which, by the way, is where Flipkart is registered. That, however, may still attract taxes in India, given that Flipkart is primarily an Indian asset. Now, a similar thing happened between Vodafone and Hutchison back in 2007. A Cayman Islands registered arm of Hutchison received the payment from Vodafone, and the IT department in 2007 issued notices to Vodafone saying, "Boss, you're liable to pay taxes on this transaction." The IT department's argument was that the Cayman Islands transaction was essentially a transfer of an Indian asset, and therefore Vodafone should have deducted tax when it paid Hutchison for the deal. Vodafone went to court saying that the deal was concluded on the Cayman Islands, and the Supreme Court in 2012 ruled in Vodafone's favor, holding that tax authorities do not have any jurisdiction on overseas transactions. Now, shortly thereafter, in 2012-2013, the then Finance Minister Pranab Mukherjee, who went on to become the President, made some amendments in the Income Tax Act, empowering authorities to tax companies for acquiring assets in India, even if the deal was concluded overseas. And that was retroactive, all the way from the 1st of April, 1962. Now, according to these new rules, or the new amendment, which came to be known as the retrospective tax, any asset which is registered or incorporated outside India shall be deemed to be situated in India if the assets are substantially located in India. And that is the same case that comes with Flipkart as well. Flipkart is incorporated in Singapore, which is outside, but its assets are substantially present in India, so this retrospective tax may just become applicable in the Walmart-Flipkart deal as well. How this pans out, you're of course in the right place to find out. We will keep you abreast on moneycontrol.com.
This is an exclusive podcast on Money Control.